This is Behind the Media. I'm Jimmy Young, and Nick Gelso is not sitting in anymore. It is the one and only, the legend, the myth, an old friend, Mike Adams.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for finding us here.
Yeah, there's some construction going on.
I noticed that. I keep telling Dan, I'm willing to walk up and down the road with a sign on me.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to Behind the Media on Fridays on Little Park Media or on CLNS Media.
But I said they must have known I was coming. They're building a handicapped ramp.
By the way, Mike Adams, still one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life in broadcasting. He has a great soul and is soulful, and you are probably the most – well, there's another guy in the market who gets a lot of credit, Dan Roach, for being a baseball lover.
Yeah.
Well, he can't – he couldn't eat a rawhide from you, man.
See, Dad, because baseball is my life, as you know.
Yeah, well, you have a great family.
Well, yeah, that's right. But anyway, never mind that. Baseball is – yesterday ruined me. You know, I was like
– oh, I'm with you. I could not – I sat at a bar at the end of my workday.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, it's 4-0.
As opposed to the beginning of your workday.
Right.
Like that's you used
was
to
not
do.
A, no, I was working up until that point, I swear. I said, you know what? It's 6 o'clock. I'm going to go downstairs and, you know, take care. I was with Nick in East Boston. And I said, I'm just going to watch the end of the game. You know, I was watching it on my live stream.
Bad decision.
Live stream. Chris Sale looked great on my live stream. As soon as I moved and went to the bar, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know what it is? They brought in Dunsomatic. You know, Joe Kelly, who has never been worth, in my mind. Can you swear on these podcasts?
Yeah, we'd have to put
like
a little. No, we like not to because we are live on YouTube and live on Facebook.
Oh, well, in that case.
So be creative.
He
try another
like
word.
Crap.
Okay, there you
Joe
go.
Kelly
Poo-poo.
Comes in. He gives up the 3 walks. Has this guy ever going to live up to his potential? One time he said he was going to win a Cy Young Award. Remember before the season started?
Yeah, well, that was when he was dressing up to be a sportscaster. Didn't he do that for the day?
I think he
didn't work.
Taking magic mushrooms for breakfast or something.
And yet he can still throw the ball as hard as anybody in the game.
Yeah, so could Ryan Duren. You know, you got to be able to throw it over the plate, though, Nimrod.
Like, you know, there you go. I'm going to write down all the references that Mike makes to baseball, and I have absolutely no clue on who he's talking about.
I tweeted out a picture of Emmett Kelly next to Joe Kelly last night. I said, two clowns named Kelly.
I knew Emmett Kelly. Yeah, of course, I know Jim.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Mike Adams, hey, everybody wants to know, where are you and what are you doing?
I think I'm in Wellesley.
Yeah, boy. Good job.
I'm not sure of that. I'm not anywhere. I've had a litany of jobs in this industry.
It's what makes you a legend, though.
Yeah. At EEI, I was out of there in 2016. I worked in New Hampshire for a year. It was only a year. That was far away. It was 90 miles all the way up the highway.
It's kind of like your commute used to be from New England Cable News back to Hartford.
Same thing. It's like, you know, do you see these lines in my face?
Yes, I know those lines.
Those are smile lines, but they're actually, it's just from driving. They're little maps, little GPS maps. Because I've done more driving than anybody. You know? I'm really only 26 years old, but look at me. I'm a mess.
You definitely have the energy, the sense of humor of a 20-year-old, the whole nine yards. Yep. Anything else as a 20-year-old? Don't say.
Yeah, I got the little black book. The problem is,
I remember that.
The problem is,
black.
It's 40 years old now, the book. it's
a lot of dust, and all those 20-year-olds are 60 now, Mike.
Exactly.
I just want to say.
So they're still attainable.
You know. They're age appropriate.
Yep.
They're absolutely. So this is the world of podcasting. I know you've been listening in the other room.
Yeah, this is a nice room.
And it sounds great. We're live streaming. 3 cameras, Mike. What's the difference, really, between what we're doing here now and what we experienced as a new station back in 1992 with New England Cable News?
Well, I can't speak for you, but only the pay scale is vastly different.
Well, no, actually, it's not. Wait, there was a pay scale at New England Cable News.
Yeah,
well,
it was a startup. I mean, that was a brand new network. You don't get the opportunity very often to be involved in a brand new network's emergence, you know.
And, right.
You know, we had all kinds of, you know, big shot people, high-minded thinkers that put this thing together. The news you need is on right now. And that applied completely to NECN until the infomercials started at 12 midnight. And then it was the news you need is on in 6 hours. But it was really, really a fun place to work. There were a lot of great people. As you know, Heather Kahn.
That's right.
I mean,
go ahead. Go through the roster because
Bill Pedo.
And Bill Pedo, who we're still both in touch with Bill Pedo. By the way, one of the nicest, greatest guys ever met, funny, ever worked for.
How funny. Funny is he off the air compared to on the air?
Oh, completely different.
On the air, he was robotic. That's off right. the air, he was hysterical.
Right. Absolutely. We love Bill Pitto. I'm going to give you another one. In fact, you know, it's sad, Mike. We just said goodbye to Mike Nikitas, who was the original anchor.
Now, he didn't die, though.
No, we did not. Right. He did not die.
Right.
But on that same night, Roy Hobbs did.
Did die.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah. He always had to upstage everybody. No, God no. bless him. I, honest to God. He and I were good friends. I used to go to his house all the time. He lived over here in Natick,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And we'd go over there after work and hang out. He was a wonderful guy.
He was a really nice man.
And he was a beautiful person, you know, but he was goofy and bombastic. I called him Foghorn Leghorn because he always said, well, you, no matter what you'd mention, you could mention something really odd. You know, geez, I got to get a new dipstick for my 47 Rambler. He'd say, you know, those 47 Ramblers had the extra long dipsticks. He always had more knowledge than you'd expect about a variety of subjects.
Which you do, too.
Yeah, but mine's less useful. Much
depends,
less.
Depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Let me.
It was sad to see that Roy Hobbs went. Yes. And good old, you know, we used to call him Ted Blackster, and he loved that. He loved that.
Of course he did.
He would laugh at that every time. So,
but we had some other great people, too. You know, let's talk about Howard Green for a moment, who I've just recently.
Who has no hair anymore.
I understand that. That's so sad. I am, by the way, great for you to point that out, you know. Anyway.
He knows it.
I know that. And I talked to him during the right before the Super Bowl. Hadn't talked to him for a while. Good guy. Great guy. Now in Minnesota working for an anti-snore company.
Good.
Which we all need.
He should have had that when his show was on the air.
Sorry.
He needed that.
I know. Do you remember one? I don't know if you remember this. Al Iafredi, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
He came on. He was injured. And he came on. Howard was filling in for you one night.
Yeah,
he
was going to fight, right?
What? Me! He almost wanted to fight me!
Why you?
Because I gave him a heart. He was like, you know, talking about it's really difficult for me to be on the sidelines and I miss my teammates and all this. And I go, but Al, you're paying. You're getting paid to do this.
Right.
And
right.
he looked at me like, you want to die right
I'll
now?
Smack you.
you little punk you, you know?
We had a lot of smackdowns. We had remember when The Rock came in? He wasn't even The Rock yet.
And I had Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some great. Killer Kowalski came on.
He came in multiple times.
Yep.
And then we had the guy who opened,
this has, by the way, this has completely gone off the tracks of behind
matter.
The media because now it's beyond the media.
Tony Atlas with the big guns.
Yes, sir.
And then we had that, what was that guy dressed in the pink Fink Feathers came in. He was a gay wrestler.
Oh, God. I know who you're talking about. I can see him. Like the Beautiful Man or something. It was not Tony Black. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? If Alex was still here and running the YouTube board, we'd know because somebody would come up with that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because, you know, the only one that's famous now out of the two of them is the Rock.
That's right.
And by the way, he was Rocky Malavia back then. He wasn't The Rock.
Oh, interesting.
He had hair. He wasn't, you know. And did you ever know the drummer for Boston, Sib Haitian?
I know the name. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was
the
drummer for the band Boston.
Yeah.
His daughter and Rock... The Rock had a baby. So Sib, who just passed away last October.
Not the daughter.
No, right. Sib,
right,
the drummer.
Sib the drummer.
He passed away. His grandson is The Rock's kid.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that kind of
That's
weird
inbred.
Little tie-in?
Yeah, that is. But, you know, it's who you know and in the circles you're in and you meet the different people and all that. I mean, you know how that works.
I know, but it's wild to think of that. That's a great bloodline.
Can I ask you a journalistic question
sure.
here? What is your opinion, please? Of the state of sports talk in the Boston market. Now, this is a set. This is not something I planned, but I know how you. I think I know how you feel about it, and I'll be happy to tell you it's deteriorated beyond deterioration.
It's less sports talk now than one big argument,
right.
Between different factions at two different competing radio stations that both cover sports, or within the parameters of one station. And there's really one person that's responsible for that, and I don't like him. But you
say
know.
It. Come on. I'll
who,
say it, too.
Kirk Minahan?
I think he has ruined a lot of this because it's become, I can knock you, and you can knock me, and I'm bigger than you because I can take it. It's like, I don't care anymore. I really don't.
He thinks that the morning show, and by the way, you know, kudos to him for being able to jump into the Boston market in his first radio job and do well. But he jumped into an established radio program. Now, if you ask him, he's the only reason anyone ever listens to that radio station ever.
Right. Well, he's now the reason I don't.
That's exactly me too. I don't ever listen to him. And sometimes people call me, oh, he was crapping on you again today, and I'm like, you know, whatever. But he's really developed this almost psychotic self-importance attitude at that radio station. And I got all my friends work there, you know. And when he downgrades them in any way, shape, or form, and I worked with these guys for 20 years, I know them. I know that they're good broadcasters and good people, something that he's not. Now, does he have listeners? Yeah. And that's a lot of that. It's almost like the Billy Martin effect in baseball. You get this sudden weirdness, and everybody pays attention for a while. But after a while, there's a burnout factor. The problem with him is Kirk will really not be happy until everybody in the world is talking about Kirk Minahan and only Kirk Minahan.
I used to call this TV-itis. You know, when you get a taste of television and radio, sometimes your ego gets fed to a degree that you cannot fit through the door. And it you think you become bigger than the actual entity. You are still just a talking head, if you will, on the radio, on TV. It's a job.
And nobody wants to listen to the Truman Show with an unlikable Truman. You know what I mean? That's my opinion of that show, and I don't care because he rags on me all the time. I'll say whatever I want about the guy. But you're right about that. That's the key to this thing with Kirk is, and I'll say this, and I won't say any more about the guy because I really don't like it. Makes me sick talking about him.
Okay.
Nobody in the history of broadcasting is as good as he thinks he is.
Fair enough. I think so. And it's funny, I think you could probably make the case for Howard Stern, one of the kings of the shock jocks.
Right.
Because Howard, too, was bigger than life.
Right.
And then went off and did his own thing.
But that's the original version of that.
Of the shock jock. We call it's a shock jock.
Yeah. He does a big copycat. I think Stern was his idol or something. I don't know.
I don't care, to be honest with you. But anyway, getting back to reminiscing, because that's always fun for us.
Yes.
Okay. Who's one of your – we've already talked about Bill Pito as one of our favorite characters.
Yep.
I know there's another one. Who else in the Neckin world, in the Neckin history, was a favorite character of yours, perhaps mine too?
Oh, my God. The place was loaded with them. You know, from the Tom Ellis –
I love Tom Ellis.
Tom Ellis
yep.
is the quintessential TV news anchor.
Correct.
Because, and he
was.
That's not an act.
No.
That's who he is.
Right.
He's a former, TCU Horned Frog
yep.
football player. You know, he
was it TCU or just Texas? Because I know he's from Texas.
I thought it was TCU.
I'll believe you.
But he was a manly man. When he shook your hand, it stayed shook because he was strong as an ox. And he had that voice, well, Mike, what's going on in the world of sports? And you felt like, I've been challenged now by a real man here.
That's right.
I better do a good job. Ellis was wonderful. Yep. We talked about Pito. Heather Kahn, who she and I had that videotape.
I don't think we want to know what you and Heather had.
We videotaped this thing.
You videotaped
it? She got in trouble. She got in trouble, but wait to hear what it was. Remember when Jim Everett had that problem with...
what's his name? Jim Rome.
Jim Rome.
Right. He called him Chris. Chris.
He called him Chris Everett.
Right. And then he attacked him over the table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we did a fake version of that where I called Heather Kahn Shaka Kahn. And she got up and flipped the table over on top of me.
Oh, that's
it was
funny.
Hysterical.
It's
because
hysterical.
You know how sweet she was.
Yes.
And funny. Well, Charlie Kravitz, you know, the boss at NECN, calls us
and now
us
the
in.
General manager of WBUR, so let's be careful.
That's right. No, no, I love Charlie.
We all do
he
love
Charlie.
He
calls us in. He goes, you know, Heather, you can't be – you're an anchor.
That's right.
You
let's talk about respect and credibility.
Fake Shaka Kahn bits with Mikey.
Right.
But there was a whole staff full of people. We all went through the same exact growing pains, so we all knew what that place was all about. We all got along pretty good, I think. You were a family. You were a weird character. And
thanks.
Your first live shot with the well, not your first live shot, but your one – I think it was from the finish line of the Boston Marathon when you didn't have your IFB plugged in.
Yes.
And they went to a two-box, and you saw the anchor saying, now let's go to Jimmy Young live. And you were bent over. You didn't have your IFB in, so you couldn't hear him.
Right.
You were bent over. All you could see was the top of your butt crack coming out of the equipment box, and you're trying to get the wires, and you're going – you're yelling back at the anchor, hold on. It was classic.
I just remember the jury rigging the microphone onto a phone.
Yeah.
And that's how we got our sound back. That was one of the first few years. That was the longest day because I worked till midnight the night before.
Yeah.
I remember this now. Worked till midnight the night before because I had 90 minutes of sports on Sunday night. Right, did the wrap-up. They got home around 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It was in Hopkinton at 6 a.m. doing the first live shot. Hopped in my car after the race started at noon.
Yeah.
Went back
to the finish line.
Got to the finish line right as the first wheelchair people were finishing.
Right.
Okay? And then managed to stay until about 4 o'clock, 5
until
o'clock.
Until that famous live shot with the plumber's crack.
I thought the famous live shot was when you and I were live and I was covering spring training after the strike and I was in Fort Myers and we're doing a live shot poolside and you challenged me for $5.
To jump in the water.
For $5, you said, I'll give you $5, you jump in the water. And I put my mic down and I jumped in the water.
Because you were going to do it anyway.
And then you told me I swam like your dad.
Right.
Even then, right. I was an old man.
Right. Yeah. Head out of the water, breaststroke.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's it. Because I didn't want to mess up my hair.
Yeah, right.
Because I was a TV guy.
Yeah.
You know. And by the way, we both have it. I just want, for the record.
What's that?
We still have our hair. We do. We still have our hair. And that, how many people our age?
Dr. Leonard, thank you very much. Call 1-800-GET-HAIR, all right?
Wherever you can get it, okay? All right. That was great. We're talking to Mike Adams here on Behind the Media, and this show has gone completely to hell because I had format.
Oh, you had a format?
I did. I had a little format. But, Mike, when was the last time you worked off a format on TV?
When was the last time I worked?
Well, we're going to try and change that, you know.
Yeah, well,
I wonder if our CLNS media people out there would start a Twitter campaign to get you on the air in some capacity.
I'll tell you what I want to really do is go back to what my career was prior to my TV and radio career.
What's that?
I want to go back to my old career before TV and radio.
What was that?
I was an underwear model for JCPenney. Yeah.
Oh, that. I used to pin those up on my wall.
Of me? The ones of me?
That's right. Because you took a picture of me. I'll never forget. You took a picture of me. In fact, it's still in my office.
Yeah.
Me and Hank Aaron, 1986 World Series.
Yep, on the field at
Fenway Park
in 1986.
Still in my office.
He's wearing a gold jacket.
Yeah, no, he's wearing the MasterCard jacket, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Or it was Arby's. I think it was Arby's.
Arby's gold jacket.
Because they have the meats.
They have the meat.
Speaking of meats, if you don't want to have meats and you still want protein, guess what? You can have an RX bar. That's right. RX bar is one of our sponsors here.
Where's
on
mine?
Behind the Media. We have yet to see an RX bar in this studio, but we've been talking about it for
a while. Go direct from the distributor.
Go to Whole Foods and pick up your own RX bar. Will you please? And, of course, do the slash CLNS Media. Use the promo code CLNS for 25% off your first purchase. You know what? That's the way it goes. Mikey, we do also have a few other things in common, and you and I have actually talked about this a lot. Off the air, I think you'll be comfortable talking about it. As you know, have you heard that cannabis is now legal in the state of Massachusetts? Look at that! I got so excited.
Someone called me and mentioned that. the thing is that, you know, if you're a medicinal marijuana user,
I am. Anybody who looks at my hands knows I've got arthritis and
psoriatic
I'm in pain
arthritis?
As we speak. Osteo.
That's what I meant.
Osteo.
I get my big words.
It's hereditary, yeah. And it's uncomfortable.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sitting here in pain as we speak. Because...
So you need a joint for your joints.
You know, I need the CBD component of the marijuana flower, if you will, the anti-inflammatory.
You don't like the psychedelia?
Let's just say, Mike, there are times for the psychoactive component, and there are times not. How's that? Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, in my case, the time for not is when I'm asleep.
Well, it does help with sleep. And I don't know about you, as you get older, it gets tougher and tougher to go to sleep.
Yeah, tincture is what I use for if I ever need that. I have some pain. You know, I'm old, back pain, things like that. But more importantly, this has been more of a labor of love over the years. Now, I always knew that there was therapeutic benefit to it because it helped keep me on the rails as opposed to off the rails over the course of my lifetime. I didn't know why. Yeah. Scientifically,
yep.
When it became a medicinal and legalized thing, I went to the doctor. First thing I do is I got 4 or 5 reasons that I should use cannabis. And again, how much you use it and for what reasons, it all varies.
Right.
But God made cannabis. It's a natural thing. It's not an opioid. If you have pain, we've talked about Bob Lobel.
Right.
He has unbelievable amount of pain from his joint, his hip replacement.
Spinal stenosis. Oh,
all kinds of problems. And he didn't want to be addicted to opioids. Who does?
Right.
So he went, and you never thought, Bob Lobel's 74 years old. He's here. All of a sudden, he's a cannabis user, ingestibles. It saved him.
Right.
And he talks about it incessantly now because it's the best thing that ever happened to him medically.
Right.
We can talk to him about that, but he's not alone. There's a lot of people that fall in that category. But more importantly, the argument against cannabis all the time, well, you know, if you get behind the wheel of a... Listen, alcohol's been legal since Prohibition ended.
Alcohol is the poison.
Well, we know it kills people in cars. We know it kills people's livers. We know that it kills people. I lost two of my best friends to alcoholism. They drank themselves to death.
Yep.
And they were wonderful people, but they had a problem. The great thing about cannabis is that it's not addictive. It doesn't... I think most people that I know that smoke cannabis are much better drivers after they've smoked the cannabis. They're more careful. They're, right. If anything, a little paranoid.
You're hyper-focused. You hyper-focus on it. And, exactly. And for those young people...
You don't
people,
go 70 and a 30,
right.
You know, with the kids in the
No, you don't.
Seat.
No, which you might if you had alcohol in
That's
you, by
it.
The way.
You know, so the argument against
and
it has which, long been...
It's interesting you bring that up because I think that is one of the biggest issues that they're having in law enforcement with... The fact that cannabis is out in the public now. It just is. And I'm not sitting here saying, go smoke an ounce of weed and get behind the wheel of a car. Everything's
no one's
in moderation.
That. You can't.
You have to use as little as possible to get the best effect as possible. But moderation is still key
right.
with anything.
Right. I mean, you don't sit there all day and just keep smoking. It's a dosage thing.
Right.
And you know, you don't take five... extra aspirin when the pain is gone.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right.
So it just makes a lot of sense. What's the biggest problem with it is in this particular state is we know how the politics are in Massachusetts. It got legalized by the voters, and then the government gets involved.
Well, because the government has no clue.
They're still trying to figure out how deep can they reach into everybody's pockets and still make out all right. And this state sucks politically. When it comes to the monetary.
Right. I'll throw politicians as a whole into the big barrel because I'm just not a big fan. And I think they have a tough job like everybody does.
Yeah.
I don't think they do it very well because this is a democracy.
Right.
And the democracy legalized it and they want to see it.
Yeah.
And now the rules and regulations are in place. But I don't know about you, but. When I went out to a Celtics game recently, I smelled it on the way
In
and out, and then I'm in bumper to bumper traffic on the Mass Pike, okay? And there's a work crew at 11 o'clock at night, and you roll down the windows, and you get wafts of it coming from people's cars.
Yeah.
You know, the hyper focus element of the herb is to me one of its greatest benefits. And a lot of people used it when they were, I'm talking about baby
ADD.
Boomers.
You have ADD.
Correct.
It's great for ADD.
And we didn't know we had ADD when we were kids, did we, Mike? We didn't know we were ADHD. Right. We just didn't. We just didn't know.
I know. They said you're a bad kid.
Right.
Boys
being boys. Yeah. You know, you can't. Yeah, can't you pay attention? And right. I go, well, no, because I'm straight. I got to go out and have a little hit, and then I'll come back in. I'll be hyper-focused.
But see, the things that we've known about this substance for a long, long time is that it just has a lack of severe harmfulness or addictive qualities, that it has therapeutic value, all these things we've known since 1970, whatever,
yep.
finally are coming, you know, into the world's focus.
Yep.
And that's because generations of people look, Paul McCartney got busted for weed three times.
Yeah.
He's 75 years old.
Right.
We talked about Bob Lobel.
Right.
You know, you talk about these people and they say, Willie Nelson. I mean,
Daron Harmon. By the way, 2 ounces, a little too much to be into going into another country,
right.
I'm just saying.
And nobody wants the youth of America to, you know, get involved in something they don't need to get involved in, but it's medicinal, and people have to understand that, and the government has to get their you-know-what together.
Yeah, well, you know what? You mentioned the kids and the youth, and I do want to talk about that, because one of the problems I see with our young people and their use of alcohol, we used to drink alcohol because... The adults drank alcohol, right? Now they're drinking alcohol with one purpose only, to get drunk.
Yeah.
That was not what we tried it because the adults are trying it. And they do too much of it, in my opinion, because they're drinking in binges and they're getting in trouble when they drink too much. And their brains have not developed enough to handle it. That's
Mine's
why.
Still developing.
I'm going the other way, Mike, at this point.
I'm good. I got special injections.
Hey, so anyway, we all know that we're up against the clock too, Mike. I want to
I'm literally up against the clock over here. Couldn't you put it on the wall instead of
the clock's right there. It is on the wall.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. All right. Hey, we're going to wrap this thing up. This totally got out of control when Mike came
in the
studio.
That's my fault.
It's totally Mike Adams' fault, but gosh, we had a lot of fun. We said some very interesting things that I will not be surprised if they get tweeted out into the universe. And you know what that means? Well, people will actually notice that we're together, which I think has tremendous potential.
I've known you since 86.
86 World Series.
Yeah, a long time, man. And you know, you don't look really that much older.
I appreciate that, actually. I've looked at myself as a younger person, and I look like a younger person.
Yeah. Well, you look like the kind of guy you go out to a restaurant, they make you pay up front.
That's You know too much about me. All right. Anyway, for Alex Barth, Nick Gelso, who did stand in for Dan Lothian earlier today, for Mike Adams, thank you so much for coming in. I really want to make this a regular thing. I think the two of us talking about one of our favorite subjects would be dynamic.
Let me work on getting regular first.
Okay, regular it is. Steve Helmuth, you directed it, and I do appreciate that. For Dan Lothian and everybody here at Little Park Media, I'm Jimmy Young. See you next time on Behind the Media.